When you come to Christmas time, you know, you get an opportunity to preach on some of these subjects that maybe don't get the attention the rest of the year. And, you know, on Christmas Sunday, you got this one chance, and then tonight we have another. And so I didn't want to miss the opportunity tonight to preach another Christmas-themed message or idea. And tonight I want to look at Mary, one of the really amazing people of the Bible, the lady that was chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And so in Luke chapter 1, I think we're going to see really five things about Mary that I think will help us today and during this season, and also as we go ahead. So look in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. And God, we want to praise and glorify your name. And God, we thank you for this time of the year where we celebrate the birth of Christ. And God, you know how we are. You know that we're forgetful. And you knew we needed a time like this to remember the blessings that you've given us. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we look into the scripture and we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. And God, help us to see some things in her that we can apply to our life to bring you honor and glory with. And God, I pray you'd bless us at this time of the year, our Christmas Eve service that's coming up, Christmas Day. Bless the families of our church and community. And God, we'll give you the glory for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the first thing that I see about Mary as we look is that she was chosen. Out of all the people in the world, God chose her. You know, I got pulled over one time in Folsom for speeding by the Folsom PD, and the old police officer told me, he said, "I know everybody's speeding through here, and I could have pulled anybody over, but I just chose you." Of course, I love that, but hey, he just chose me. Of course, I told him I didn't know Folsom PD even existed, and that didn't help me out any there, but out of all the people, just to choose Mary. And to be the mother of Jesus Christ, what an honor. I mean, the Bible says she was blessed, highly favored among women. Here we are 2,000 years later. We talk about her. I think billions of people around the world know her name today because she's the mother of Christ. I also think about what great pressure this must have been to be the mother of our Lord. I'm reminded of the Bible story when they are leaving Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 years old, and they've went a day's journey, and they look and find that 12-year-old Jesus is not with the group anymore. And I'm sure she thought, we have now lost the Christ. God has entrusted unto us the Savior of the world, and we have now lost Him. That would be what would be going through my mind if I was the parents of Jesus. But what pressure. But nonetheless, she was chosen. And the thing for us to remember tonight is that you were chosen, and I have been chosen for several things. First off, God has chose us for salvation. You know, the Bible says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And it goes back to what we talked about this morning, that God is that initiator. He is the one who comes and seeks us first. Now, I also have good news tonight for everyone in the world. The Bible said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's a key verse because it says God is not willing that any should perish. That's not His will. That's not His desire. His desire is for all men, every man, woman, boy, and girl, to come to the knowledge of truth of salvation. And so He has chose you to send His Son to die for. He has chosen you for salvation, and He wants us to be saved. And if you're here tonight and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born again and you are saved, what an amazing thing that is. Again, if we were to zoom out tonight and if I was to look at my life with a big picture point of view and to say that I'm saved, it really should put things in perspective for us. I've been unconditionally forgiven of all my sins, past, present, and future. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I die, I'm going to spend all eternity in heaven. And so whatever bad happens to me, whatever goes on in this life, I will spend my forever with Jesus Christ in a kingdom and in a place where everything is perfect and right. And so we have been chosen unto this great salvation that we have, and we ought to praise God for it and be thankful for it and glorify Him in the salvation that we find in Jesus Christ. Everything else really does, pale in comparison to the fact that we're saved. That's the most important thing. But He's also chose us to service. We've been chosen to service. You know, I think about our families, our parents that God has given us. I didn't choose my parents. God chose them for me. Where I was born, when I was born. I think about our spouses, our children. We're called to serve our families. And, raising a family is something that weighs heavily on me. And it's something that God has chosen to give us, our ministry of our family. I think, too, about our church. This is the church that God has let us serve in. And when I say us, I mean me and you. It is our church. And now I understand some people want to get real spiritual and say, it's the Lord's church. I understand that. That hasn't gone unnoticed to me. I know it's the Lord's church. But I like to take ownership of things. And I say, this is my church. And I'm going to serve here and I'm going to do. And the reason why, and you ought to say, this is my church. And the reason why is, hey, you don't wash a rental car. Amen. When you just stopping by or you just kind of thinking you're a guest or you're whatever, you know, when I leave the hotel room, I don't make the bed and clean or take out the trash. I just leave. But when you own it, when it's yours, then you take care of it. And we ought to say that this is our church. And I have a goal and a mission that God has given me, and I think He's given all of you to say that when we leave this earth, I want to leave Oak Grove Baptist Church a whole lot better than we found it. And to say, hey, we've taken good care of it. It's an amazing thing when Jesus looked at Peter and said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. You know what that means? He said, I'm leaving. And here's the keys. And you're running it while I'm gone. And you know what Peter did? And all the apostles, they've continued to hand it down, the keys down to us. And figuratively, sometime way back, somebody handed me the keys and said, hey, run it till I get back. And imagine you got them today. Hey, here's the keys. What are you going to do with them? And so God has chose us to serve the Lord's church and to own it and to take ownership of it and to say, we are going to make Oak Grove Baptist Church the best church that it can be. And he's given us this calling. There's an old saying that says, how would my church be if every church member was just like me? You know, and I think that's always a good thing to ask ourselves when it comes to our faithfulness to the Lord's church. And our church also happens to be in this community, and we're called to serve it. I'm kind of, a strange person. I don't know, but I love Washington Parish, and I was born here, and I love it. I love every square inch of it, and this is where God's given me to raise my family and to minister. When we came here, Mother's Day is going to be 15 years we've been here, and my family joined church here, and it was just me, Laura, and Ashlyn as a little baby. I said, we're going to plant roots here and we're going to raise our family here. And God has let us do that. And so Oak Grove community and in Washington Parish and the communities around us, God has given us, he has chose us. He's chose us. I didn't ask to be born in Bogalusa, but that's where I was born. I didn't ask to be born in Washington Parish, but I sure was. And this is where God has me to be. When I lived in Arizona, I've told y'all this story many times. When I was in Arizona, living in Phoenix, Arizona, the fastest growing city in America. And by the way, it still is. I seen that the other day. It's still the fastest growing city in America. California's about to lose some congressional seats because they leave in there faster than they can, you know, get out of there. Most of them going to Phoenix. That's where I wanted to be. Hey, big city, fast and growing, and all this. And this is where I'm at. God didn't have Phoenix in mind for me. He had Oak Grove in mind for me. And this is what God has for us. And so we've been chosen to serve. And then we've also been chosen, lastly, for this season. You know, when you think about Jesus being born, this was it. This was the time. Right here and right now with Mary. And our season is now. I say this, man, what a wonderful time to be alive. Man, this is a good time. We're blessed. I joke with y'all that, hey, if they could drop me back on the frontier 300 years ago, I'd probably be dead in two weeks. So I'm glad I'm not having to live on the frontier and all this other things. And I'm glad that I'm living right now and ministering now. And I always say this about Charles Spurgeon and Jonathan Edwards and I could list name after name after name. One thing all those men have in common is they're dead, and it's our time now. It's not their time anymore. And so this is our season of life to live in. Now also, she was challenged. So she was chosen, and she was challenged. Verse 27 tells us that great challenge, that she was a virgin, a spouse to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Here's the big challenge. She's about to get pregnant with the Holy Ghost. And I don't know about you, but that's a tough one to pull off. Amen. If y'all put yourselves in Joseph's shoes, put yourself in Joseph's friends and family shoes. If you're maybe put yourself, imagine if this was your daughter-in-law who says, hey, I'm pregnant with God's child. I would say, I don't think so, right? I would say, in our modern day and time, I would say, Joseph, we might want to get a DNA test when this thing comes to be. And I'm sure the rumor swirled, and hey, this wasn't, you know, it ain't like today. People get pregnant today out of wedlock. It is completely not even a deal anymore. It's not a deal at all. No one bats an eye, cares, thinks about it. It's not a big deal. But in this day, not the case. And when you get pregnant, when you're not married, big deal, big scandal, big shame. And that's what she had to deal with. It was a challenge, to say the least. I was texting, as I told y'all today, I get a lot of texts from a lot of people all the time, and I was texting with somebody today that was struggling, and I just shared with them the message of the angels. Hey, don't fear. Be of good cheer. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And they said, well, that was 2,000 years ago. Today it is insane. And you know what I told them? I text back. I said, after Jesus was born, Herod had all the babies 2 years old and under killed and murdered. I said, that sounds insane. And it is. And it is. But back to Mary with the challenge. Imagine being the mother of the child who caused all the other mothers' babies to be murdered. Big deal. Big challenge. I mean, pretty big burden to have to bear that because my baby was born and because of my child, Herod's killing everybody else's babies trying to find mine. So nonetheless, she was challenged. Well, back to our calling, it's challenging. And I think in light of what we just said about Mary, it should put it in perspective for us. But y'all do know parenting is not easy, right? I told somebody the other day, I'm ready for all my kids to grow up and get married and get gone, right? I love the babies, right? Man, we had Christmas over at the house today, and they opened up their toys, and they play with toys, and they bounce balls, and it's just so great. And then you raise teenage girls, and they're not the same as raising the baby little boys. And so it's a different deal. But, hey, it's a challenge. It's a challenge that we all have to deal with. Serving our community is a challenge. Our church, what we got to do today in our church and ministry is a challenge. Me and Bro Russell was talking. We was talking outside about Oak Grove Baptist Church. Not an easy location. I don't know if y'all know that, but pastoring in this community is different. It is in the middle of nowhere. It is off the beaten path. It does not get. It doesn't have some of the natural aids that you can have. Just like, for instance, you know, I think about Enon Baptist Church. They pastor right across the street from the school. And man, how you could be involved in the school and the 500-600 kids that are up there all the time, and you can be, we don't have some of that, okay? So I remember whenever we moved in the Parsons, got DirecTV, and the DirecTV guy said, what a place to put a church, you know? And I said, man, what an encouragement, amen, yeah, you know this. But we have challenges that we will have to overcome. Also challenging in our day, is me and Bro Russell talked about this, and I study church pretty much every week. I'm always reading and listening and thinking about things about church. You know, in the 80s and the 90s and before, but just say in the 80s and 90s, churches really could create a place where families could come and do things, and people were looking for that. Do y'all know in 2020, families are not looking to do more? Their schedules are already really full. And they're not coming to the church saying, hey, give us more. Give us more options. Give us a lot to do. So it's a challenge. You know, I say back then, these churches, I called it Six Flags Over Jesus. That's what these churches created, man. They had stuff going on and trips and events and all this stuff. And, hey, you have an event on a Saturday nowadays at church, and go ahead and get ready to get mad because ain't nobody coming. And, you know, so, but like me and Russell talked about this morning, the good old days ain't coming back. So don't pout about it. Let's whine. Hey, Andy Griffin ain't walking through the door. Aunt B ain't cooking the fried chicken. It's not happening. But what we have to do is say, this is 2021. How are we going to minister to people today? How are we going to build the church going forward in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? And understand that times are changing and have changed. I don't like some of it. I remember when I was a kid, man, you go to VBS, right? And man, they might give a gift out, whoever brings the most visitors. You might have got, y'all remember Super Soaker water guns? Y'all remember them? You know, pump them up. and you super soak. If you, man, if you brought a super soaker water gun to VBS for a prize, it'd be the greatest thing in the world. You bring that today, they'll boo you off the stage, man. You better be bringing a PlayStation or a Xbox or something else. You bring a super soaker, that thing will be broke before they get out the drive, out of the parking lot with it. It's, people are different. And you might not like it, but it is what it is. And so we got to say, we ministering in this day and age, and things just have to change. I know, I promise you, our church has been blessed beyond measure. Some people ain't never coming back to church. It's over. They're gone. Ship has sailed. They're going to watch Facebook Live for the rest of their life. That's what they're going to do. They're going to do church online. It is. Now, we're not going to have a whole lot of that, but again, it's just a different day and time. There's more people that don't want the fellowship community aspect, or they do, but they might need it in a digital way. So it's weird. And some of y'all are going, oh my God, anxiety. I don't want any of that. I understand. I wish it was the 80s too. Man, don't we want to go back to the 80s? But it ain't coming back. We got to move forward. So it's a challenge. And she had a challenge. Also, the good news is she was cherished. Look at what it said in verse 28. It said, and the angel came in and said unto her, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. God loved Mary. She was highly favored. She was blessed among women. And I want you to know that God loves us. We forget that sometimes, but can I tell you something tonight that ought to help everybody in here? God loves you tonight as much as he ever has. He don't love you any less today than he did yesterday. He don't love y'all more because y'all here on Sunday night. Okay, I might love you more, but God don't love you more. Okay, he loves you as much as he can love you. And we need to remind ourselves that God loves us from time to time, and he cherishes us, and we're the crown jewel of creation, and he died for us, and we are blessed and highly favored. The Bible says that we are seated in the heavenlies, and we are his beloved, and we are the apple of his eye. And so remind yourself of that, because what the devil will tell us is that we are not loved. He'll tell us that we're unlovable. He'll tell us we're not worthy of that love. And he ain't lying, but God loves us. I'm not worthy of the love of God, but it doesn't change the fact that he loves me. I am flawed and broken and weak, but God still cherishes me and wants good for me. Man, when you think about, I got it on my phone. I saved it. I seen somebody put it out there the other day. I'll share it with you. I thought it was good. And I think just something to remind us about. It said, Noah got drunk, Jacob lied, Moses murdered, Rahab was a prostitute, David had an affair, and God still used all them, and he can use you. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. God loved all them people. David was called a man after God's own heart. And when you look at his life, you say, my goodness, how could he be a man after God's own heart? Because when he did wrong, he told God he was sorry. And he repented of it and he got back to God. And when we do wrong, you know the only thing there is to do? The only thing there is to do is to repent and get back to God. That's it. Quit. You know, again, person texting me said, I can't make it. I said, you ain't got no choice but to make it. And life gets a lot easier when quitting's off the table. I was listening to Francis Chan the other day, church planner in Hong Kong. He said, well, quitting on God's not an option, so what else, you know, what else is there? And there's a lot of truth in that. So we can't quit. We've got to keep going on for the Lord. And so we're cherished, we're loved. And then in verse 29, it says this, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Mary was a woman who contemplated things. If you remember our story that we read this morning, when the shepherds came and all this commotion's going on, there was a little verse that we didn't touch on that said, Mary pondered these things in her heart. Here, She cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And Mary was a woman who contemplated and was a thinker. Who wouldn't in verse 29 wonder what type of salutation this would be? But my challenge to you tonight is to be men and women who think. I tell the kids in school a lot, you know what the problem with kids are today? They can't think. You know what they can do? They can Google it. They can YouTube it. But they can't think about it. They can't figure it out on their own. Our day and time, our generation, the day in which we live, but these kids stay on these things all the time. I told them I'm going to create an app called Outside. You got to go outside. And you press the button and, hey, you got to hit it. You got to go out. I think we make money off of that, you know? Our parents would buy that. But they can't. And I think, but a point of saying that was we understand and we remember what it was like to be bored. Remember what that was like? Like, I don't got nothing to do. I'm bored. Well, now people scroll mindlessly till they're numb on their phones or their devices, and there is no more time to think and be bored. Imagine us when we go into the doctor's office or wherever it might be, if you didn't have your phone, how boring it would be. But I'm just saying, you need to spend some time thinking about things. And you need to control your mind and not let it get to a bad place. Notice when she thought and wondered what this was, here's what the word of the Lord said unto her. It said, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him his throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. Our thinking has to be reassured by God's word. Because I can think some crazy things. My mind can go to some awful places. And I think so can most of yours. The reason why suicide numbers are through the roof is because people's minds go to some bad places. I think I heard the other day that a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy said that they used to deal with a suicide a week, and now they're dealing with 5 suicides a day in L.A. County. And it's because their minds have gone to bad places. We got to reassure our minds with God's word. The devil is the enemy of our mind. He's going to try to control it and unravel it, and hey, he'll find a string and pull it, and he'll get you crazy now. And so I got to reassure. I mean, I could see Mary going crazy here. I mean, what in the world is happening? I'm engaged to be married, and my whole world is turned upside down, that God is impregnating me with the Son of God. She was reassured by God's word. And then she questioned in verse 34. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's a good question. And by the way, I think we ought to question a lot. I think we ought to question everything. But listen here, not question to be the doubter, not question to be the skeptic, question to find the truth. You look in the scripture, God never condemns anybody for questioning when they're looking for the truth. Mary said, hey, how's this going to be? I'm a virgin. How's this going to happen? And you know what he did? He answered the question. And when people come to God and they ask a question, he usually answers them. This is not a question of doubt, but it is a question of, I want to know the truth. And I would say to all of us, we ought to question everything that we're doing to pursue truth. If you're counting on this Bible and this Jesus and this salvation to go to heaven, I think we ought to question it and make sure that what we believe is, in fact, the truth. And I believe we ought to build very strong man arguments, not straw man arguments. The difference is sometimes we make arguments that we can easily defeat. Well, ask some hard questions from time to time. But she was reaffirmed in God's word in verses 35 through 37. And he said there in verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And then the last thing, it said, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." She comforted herself with faith in God. Here's what she said. "I don't fully understand this. I can't completely grasp it. I don't know where it's going. But be it unto me according to your word." And I can confess to you tonight, I don't fully understand it. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what the future holds. I do know that tomorrow is going to be a new day, and I don't know what it'll bring. But I think we could all say with Mary, "Hey, we're going to trust God, and be it unto me according to your word." I always go back to this, and it was kind of just a big deal in our life. And it was a reassurance of faith whenever Cannon was sick when he was a baby. Took him to the doctor's office, and he quits breathing, and they got to put a vent in him and do all this stuff. And they airlift him to Children's Hospital. And Laura says to me, as we're walking to the car, she says, "We need to pray." And I said, "I've already prayed." And I told her, I said, "Do you want to know what I said, what I prayed?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "I told God I trust him with however it turns out. And he knows I don't want my son to die. He knows I don't want him to be sick. But I trust him with however he sees fit to let it go on." And Mary didn't understand this. Guess what? 2021, I trust you with however it goes on. Whatever comes our way, we're just going to trust God. He's still good. He's still in control. He still loves us. There's a lot ain't never going to change. And he knows what's best. And we just trust him. And so I think we could take some of these things tonight that we see from the life of Mary, apply them to our lives, and use them for the honor and glory of God. Amen. Man, it's been good to be with you today. And I encourage you